going to be a fantastic year for you, for your families. I know some families went through some pretty, you know, big loss over the holidays here. You know, Barb's here with us, and keep her in your prayers. She lost her son last week, and Jen's here, and her grandfather passed away on Christmas Eve. And so there's just some people that are suffering today, and we just want to keep them in our prayers and just love them and care for them. We know that God is good, and we can trust in Him even in these hard times. I remember when my father passed away, you know, how God just carried me. So I was willing to just trust in Him and just lean on Him. He's able to carry me. So I just, you know, pray for both of your families that God will just carry you in these days. So announcements for this week. We really don't have anything happening this week until next Sunday. It's going to be a quiet week. We have prayer on Tuesday morning. And we have, like, next week, Sunday morning. And next week, Sunday morning, we'll be back to kind of a normal schedule in the church. So next week, we'll be starting back up with the youth, young adults kind of schedule. And on the Wednesday night, we'll meet together for just a time of prayer and worship in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. We'll be starting into small groups again in the closer to the end of the month. We'll give you a firm date soon. What we'll probably have is, again, a different marriage small group. For those who didn't get a chance to attend, or those who just want to keep deepening your marriage relationship, that'll be available for you. Also, we'll be having a small group on the Holy Spirit. So, just if you ever wondered about how the Holy Spirit affects our lives, and you know about the baptism and the Holy Spirit, all those different things, it's a small group done by Robert Morris. He's really good, really practical, easy to follow. You'll learn a lot. It'll be great. It's called The God I Never Knew. So, and then the young adults are doing a movie small group over at the Martins on Friday nights, I think. Is it once a month? Twice a month? So we'll have that schedule up for you, too. All right, so I'm going to ask Tom to come up and just share some thoughts with you.
We read this morning, and I thought it was very apropos for today. It says, "Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. As you begin a fresh year, rejoice that I am continually working newness in your life. Don't let recent disappointments and failures define you or dampen your expectations. This is the time to make a fresh start. I am a God of unlimited creativity. Expect me to do surprising things in this year that stretches out before you. Today is a precious gift. The present moment is where I meet with you, beloved. So seek my face throughout this day that I have made. I have carefully prepared it for you with tender attention to every detail. I want you to rejoice and be glad in it. Search for signs of my loving presence as you journey along the path of life. Look for the little pleasures I have strewn along your pathway, sometimes in surprising places, and thank me for each one. Your thankfulness will keep you close to me and help you find joy in your journey." And with that comes the scripture in Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make the road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." These are the promises that we have for God, from God, for this new year. So as we go into the new year, focus your eyes, your heart, and your life on the things of God so that we can experience His goodness and His blessings and His presence. I'd like the fellas to come and take up the offering. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks that we enter, as we enter into this new year, Father, that your promises are sure and amen, and that as we focus our eyes on you and our hearts bent towards you, that we can experience your presence with us. Lord, help us this day and the days to follow to keep our eyes focused on the true word and on your presence, and we thank you for it. Bless this offering, Lord, that it might stretch your kingdom throughout this whole area. And we ask, Father, for prosperity in spirit, soul, and body for these people that you placed in this place. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. I promised you I'd keep it short today, so I'm going to do my best to do that. New Year's. I love New Year's. I know that God doesn't care about years. I don't think that it's a big deal to him that it's 2017. I think God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. His intention toward us in 2017 is the same he had toward us in 2016 and 15 and 14 and all the way back to the beginning of time. But I think New Year's is important for a lot of us because it's just a good time to put something behind us and put something ahead of us. Paul said, I put the past behind me. I turn my back on the past and I press on toward the future, toward the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So there's an importance in resetting our life. I want to encourage you this morning. If you're feeling like, like last year was just a horrible year for you, then just like remember the easy button at the Staples? Hit the easy button. Reset. It's time for a reset. It's time, if you're living in shame today because you did some things in the past year that you're ashamed of, or if you're living in fear because there's some things that scared you in the last year, push the easy button. Push reset because God loves you. God's plans for you are good. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And so I was thinking about the new year, and I don't know how many of you get Leon Fontaine's devotional, but I got his devotion on Friday, I think. And it just was something that was really interesting and really kind of goes along with what I want to talk about this morning. But he was talking about kicking old habits. So I'm just going to read. It's just a couple paragraphs. I'm going to read it to you. The crowds that were at the shopping malls a few weeks ago will soon be flocking to fitness centers and drafting resolutions to get out of debt, improve their relationships, or overcome addictions. Unfortunately, the change that happens is often only temporary, and despite people's best intentions, they revert back to their old lifestyles. How many of you have ever made New Year's resolutions, and then within the first 5 days, it's kind of over? I remember when I used to work out in a gym, like at New Year's, it was always like busy for about 2 weeks, and then it was gone. And I knew that because I was still there for 3 weeks. No. But that's because they focused on making external changes in attitude or behavior while overlooking the necessary changes on the inside. But in order to make permanent change, you need to go deeper. Modern psychology calls this deeper part of you the subconscious, but the Bible calls it your heart. If your heart is filled with beliefs that lead to lowest self-esteem, poor habits, and destructive thoughts, you'll be hard-pressed to rise to a higher level because each time you try to change, your heart beliefs will pull you down. On the other hand, if you want to make a lasting change and rise above your addictions and depression, low self-esteem, or whatever else is causing self-destructive behavior, you need to be more discerning about what goes into your heart and what gets planted in your heart. The more you meditate on God's word and listen to or read biblical teaching, the more you'll fill your heart with great beliefs and lead to great results. This year, go beyond resolutions, plant God's word in your heart, and create lasting change. See, if we don't really know what God thinks about us, if we don't really know the plans that God has for us, if we don't really meditate on who he is Everything that happens to us, we wonder if it's God. But when we know God's plans for us are good, when we know God's on our side, when we know God cares about us, even when we go through difficult and challenging times, we have Him pulling us forward. We have that assurance that He doesn't leave us and doesn't forsake us. So I just want to encourage you this year. I finished on Friday. I got my little badge from the God's Word. I finished my one-year Bible. I did it. I did the whole thing. And I know that's no big deal, but it is a big deal. I finished it. I started again today with another one. I'm going to do God's Word again this year. I'd encourage you to do the same. Get in God's Word every day. Study, think, meditate on God's Word. Let it get inside you. It'll change you from the inside out. So, glad to put 2016 in the rearview mirror. I'm happy. I learned a lot in 2016. I'm stronger because of 2016. I have a clearer look forward for myself as a person, but for us as a church, about what God wants to do in us and through us. But I'm happy to push the easy button because it was a hard year for me. I had a lot of challenges, but I really sense the presence of God through it, and I'm really excited about that. Sometimes when we have life easy for a while, we don't really lean into God as much as we should. I think it's really important to stay with God and stay connected to Him and stay strong in Him. I always feel like that the start of the new year is a new chance for me and new hope. So this New Year's Day, I kind of want to lay out what I think is important in this new year to come as we build the kingdom of God in this region together. I think number one thing I want to talk about this morning, I think focus is important. I think that focus is one of the things that's really important to us. As I said last week, Sunday, I think we're living in times where busyness is our drug of choice. We're busy, 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 busy. We're just run from one thing to another, from here to there, and we get lost in the busyness. We don't really seem to know how to allocate value to things. Everything is important. We're doing so many things, right? And all things in our minds have equal value, so we do not prioritize one thing over another. We just keep doing next, 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 next. How many feel that way? Next. When you get done with something, next. Right? And the list continues to grow. I think that this has made it hard for us to stay focused on things of value instead of just things. And that's why so many of us struggle in our relationship with God. Because we don't know how to focus. We don't know how to just press in to what's important. We're always trying to get everything done instead of just getting the important things done. I remember the story of Jesus when he was with Mary and Martha. And Martha was busy doing all the things, the busyness and getting things done. And I know that there's things that need to get done. I'm not saying there's not important things to get done. But Martha said to Jesus, Mary's just sitting on her rear end. She's just hanging out with you. She's just being around you. And you should tell her to get doing something. And Jesus said to Martha, does everybody remember what she said? What he said to her? He said, Mary chose the best part when she chose me. Right? It's important for us to remember. Our focus will help us to stay with the important things. We need to think about important things. We need to do important things. Christine started to work as a nurse this past year, and she's really busy during her shift. And it's really important for her to be able to prioritize. It's one of the things she always talks about is setting priorities and doing the important things. If she doesn't, some really important things will be delayed, and some really unimportant things will be done really well. And that would really create a problem for her being a nurse. See, there's always things to do. We can always do things. And we're going to talk a little bit later about relationships. I think sometimes we're so busy doing things, we don't have time to just stop and help someone or take some time with someone or build a relationship with someone. But we have to choose useful things. We have to set our priorities properly. We have a hard time prioritizing our lives and putting focus on things of value. And it creates problems for us in our usefulness to the Lord. I'm not saying that God can't use you or God doesn't love you if you don't prioritize, but there's limits to what God can do through you when you don't really know Him and spend time with Him and learn to hear His voice. So what's important for us as believers? I'm going to read a scripture out of Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34. I'm going to read it from the Good News Bible first and then from the Message Bible, just because I think they both emphasize really well what our priorities need to be. It says, "Instead, be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and what He requires of you, and He will provide you with all these other things. So do not worry about tomorrow. It will have enough worries of its own. There's no need to add to the trouble each day brings." And then from the Message Bible, it says, "Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes." Steep your life in God reality. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Give your entire attention to what God is doing. It's so important for us as believers to focus our lives on God and His kingdom. And the promise is that if we do that, then He'll take care of all the other things that we run so hard to take care of. You know, we run and we run. And I'm busy. I'm a busy person. I just raised two sons, and they're in university now, and we're busy. You know, Christine went to school. We were busy, but it was still really important for us to keep our priorities right and stay focused on the Lord. Stay focused. We're not here. Jim and I were talking before the service, and Jim was saying, "You know, I don't really understand how people think that this is what it's all about. We are pilgrims here. This is not our home. We're here. If heaven was all that being born again was about, we would just be born again and go to heaven. It's about so much more. And part of it is God wants to reach, as we talked about over the last while, God wants to reach a lost world. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And so many times we're so busy doing things that are kind of important, but not very important. And they're fine if you have time after the important things, but we need to learn to focus. We need to really set our hearts on God. We need to focus on what God can and has done. Because a lot of us sometimes, you know, we went through this year. We lost Bethany early, and we lost, you know, my friends lost their baby, and then, you know, Cam and Jenna lost their baby, and then, you know, Jen lost her grandma, and it was a year of loss. It was a hard year. We lost, you know, Barb lost Robbie, and it was hard, and it's easy to focus on those things, and it's easy to focus on all the things that happen that create loss. But if we focus on God and what He can do rather than on the devil and what he might do, we're a lot better off. We're a lot better off. We can find a lot more joy in our life. Not necessarily happiness, right? Because we're all worried about happiness. Be happy, 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 right? But joy is being, knowing God is with us in the midst of storms. We can find a lot more joy if we would just focus on the positive. We'd focus on God and His kingdom. Spend time in His presence. Number two, we need to make a place for worship in our daily routines. There are three priorities, really, in a Christian life. God's greatest desire is to have a relationship with us. But that's built on three things. And as Christians, we've learned two really well, right? We even sang it in a song this morning and all day. It said, "Read your Bible and pray every day," right? We sang it as kids in Sunday school. "Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, right? We've learned those. Those are two of the pillars, reading Word and prayer. But I think we miss one of the most important pillars. Well, not the most important. It's a three-legged stool, and it doesn't stand without the third leg, right? If you ever tried to stand up a three-legged stool with only two legs, it doesn't really work very well. It just falls over. And And a lot of times in our relationship with God, our relationship is falling over because we're missing one leg. And I believe that one leg we're missing is worship. That there's three priorities that we have in our life. Is word, prayer, and worship. We need to bring worship into our daily lives. We need to have a place for worship. I appreciate our worship leaders here. And I'm really thankful for what they do. I am so thankful for them. But it would be a lot easier on them if we all had a daily habit of worship. So that when we gather together, we're just ready to worship. We're used to worship. We're used to entering the presence of God in worship. We're ready for it, right? Because it is what God wanted. Even in church life, right? The three pillars really are the word, prayer, and worship, right? Add communion to that. These are the most important things in our life as believers, and we need to make sure that we prioritize them. Did you know that God even put an archangel in charge of every one of those three different priorities, right? Gabriel was the angel that carried the word of the Lord. He was the messenger angel. He always, thus saith the Lord, I came from the presence of the Lord, and I'm giving you this word. Gabriel was the word angel. He guarded the word. Michael was the warrior or prayer angel. Whenever someone in the Bible prayed, we read about Daniel, how he prayed. And then Michael came to him and he said, well, I came as soon as you prayed. I had to fight my way through this over here. He's the warrior. That's what prayer does. It's our battle. It's our offensive weapon. Prayer is that for us. And then we see that Lucifer was the angel over worship. And as we know, the Bible said he traded, right? Which really meant he took something that belonged to someone else. He took some of God's glory for himself. He was supposed to be a reflection of God's glory. If we read in the Bible, we can see, right? I think it's in Isaiah, where it talks about Lucifer and what he was like and how he was created. It was all precious stones, right? If we look at, really, I think the priest garment, when they went into the Holy of Holies, it was the same. But it was all covered with precious stones because he was meant to reflect the glory of God. And instead of reflecting it, he took the glory for himself and he fell from his position of authority. So worship, really, the one who was in charge of worship was lost. And we weren't there for the conversation that day, but I could imagine that the conversation went something like this. After God kicked Lucifer out of heaven, Lucifer looked at God and said, so who's going to worship you now? And God bent down. He took some dirt. He formed Adam. He blew life into it and said, he is. That's our call. To worship God. To sing his praise. To shout his glory. To reflect the glory of God to others. Satan actually was made. He had instruments built right into his body. If you read again in Isaiah or Ezekiel, I'll look it up for you. you know, it talks about his pipes and his timbrels. It talks about these parts of his body that were actually for. And if we really understand who we are built with musical instruments in our own bodies, right? We have percussion instruments. We clap. That's why the Bible says, clap your hands, right? Shout unto God with a voice of triumph, our wind instrument. We have our stringed instruments, our vocal cords to make noise and worship and song to the Lord. It's really important for you, though. Here's one thing. When I listen to like someone like Andrea or someone like John sing, you know, I can like listen to it and enjoy it. If I like my own singing, but I know it's not great, right? So for me, I was going to stand up here and sing a song for you, but I feel a little silly because I don't sing that good. But really, God doesn't care. God does not care how good or bad you sound. My mom always tells me she can't sing anymore because her voice is getting too old and it's getting crackly or whatever. God doesn't care about that. God cares about the heart. the heart comes out through the worship. It's not the sound as much as the heart behind it. So we need to develop a heart of worship in our regular lives. It's what we're about this year. We're talking about living in the presence of God. That's our focus for the year. And that's going to come as we learn to make a place in our everyday life for worship. So Satan fell from heaven when he took God's glory that he was actually made to reflect. And our battle today is not to take glory for ourselves, but instead to reflect the glory of God to this world who is desperately in need of him. That only happens as we keep focusing our attention on God and letting him fill us. It's not going to happen because you're a good orator or you're a good soul winner. It happens when you become really close to God and his life just shines out of you. It's really important. Without the pillar of worship, we're going to struggle with prayer and we're going to struggle with the word. I found the more I'm into worshiping God in my own time and singing to the Lord, right? We were singing that song at the very end, right? I need you more. Sing that song. Just close your eyes and think about the Lord and just sing that song to the Lord. I would sing it now. I don't want to do that right now. But when you're in your own time, right, just take a few moments and just sing, you know, I need you, Lord, more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. And just allow it. There comes a time where words come from your head and out your mouth. But there's a time where you can feel the shift where it starts to come out your heart and through your mouth as worship to God. And you just stay there in a place of worship until you feel that shift from your head to your heart. This takes focus, I'm telling you, but it'll change your life. In the New King James Version, it says to sing to the Lord in 90 different verses. To sing to the Lord. When the Bible says something once, you should pay attention. When it says it twice, you really should watch. If it says it three times, well, it says it 92 times. 90 times. Sing to the Lord. I think that means that we should sing to the Lord. I think that that means when Andrea or when John or when Alyssa or whoever's up here leading worship should, you know, strike up the first note, that there should come a powerful echo right from front of the house to the back of the house, worshiping God together. And I'm not saying this for my good. I'm saying this for your good. This is, I believe, what God's calling us to as a church is a more intimate worship with him. And then the last thing I want to talk about today is make a place in your heart and in your routine for others. Our vision here is to build relationships to build the kingdom of God. Very simply put, Christine and I were out shopping this week. We were in Niagara on the Lake and we came across this picture. And both of us said that this, more than anything, says what our church is about. Can you all see it or is it getting reflected off of? It says, in this house, we do second chances. We do grace. We do mistakes. We do real. We do I'm sorry. We do loud pretty well. A bunch of Dutch people. Eh? We do hugs. We do love. And we do family. This is what we're about. This is what we're here for. We're not here to keep a building open. We're not here to keep our name on the side of a building or on the side of a bus. We're here to be a family. We're here to bring the good news of Jesus to the world. That's why we're here. It's not about us. The Bible said he would put the lonely in families. That's our goal. That the lonely could find a family. I would like it to happen a lot faster. But it's not going to happen unless we take time in our heart and in our life to just give people time. I even think we were talking about cafe because we were out IKEA yesterday looking around the store. And I really have always had a little bit different vision of what the cafe would look like, a little bit more like a Starbucks, you know, look and some comfortable. Anyway, Christine said, the problem is that people always sit around the same seats together, around the same tables together. And that's really our comfort. That's what we do for comfort. But what shouldn't be as a church, just always, we should be looking around and saying, who needs us today? We need to come to church with a ministry attitude, because right now we all know each other. We all kind of have an idea of who we are and who needs what. And we can sort of know when someone's had a bad week because we get, you know, through the grapevine. But as people come in and as people get to know us and we get to know them, we need to just start moving around the room a little bit and just talking to some different people and connecting. Some of you never have sat in a cafe to connect. Sit down. Say hi. My name is. You know, it's really important. I believe in this. This of all the areas in the church, I designed this part myself. I wanted the cafe because I wanted a place for relationship. Because I believe that the kingdom of God is built in relationship. I believe this with all my heart. We need to put some margin in our lives so we can have time for people to stop and say hi. We need to take some time to pray with people from time to time. We need to take some time just to, you know, take up your phone and connect with someone. There's all kinds of scriptures. You can find them on our website. Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40, and Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. If you want to write, that's what we build our vision for the church upon. We build a relationship first with God. Then we build a relationship with each other. And then we build a relationship with those who don't know Jesus yet. And none of those are important with, well, our relationship with God is important, but our relationship with God will always drive us outward. God beats for others. God's heart beats for others. God came. Jesus came when we were still sinners, the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus came while we were of no use to him whatsoever. He came, right? Jesus didn't come for the ones that were well. It says he came to bring sinners to repent. He came for those people who do not yet know him. He loves you and he cares about you and he has a great plan for you. But one of the biggest parts of his plan for you is to tell someone else. To love someone else, to care for someone else, and bring them to Jesus. So as we begin this year, I just want to encourage you, number one, to work on your focus. Take time to focus. Number two, put some time in your life for worship. Instead of just reading your Bible and praying in your devotion time, also take a time to just worship God. Sing to the Lord. Sing loudly to the Lord. You know, like I think it's okay to be loud. I think God actually likes loud. If we read Revelations, it talks about how it was so loud that they were handing out earplugs at the door because the foundation, everything was shaking because the voice of the Lord was so loud. Right? So he's okay with loud. He's okay if we sing loudly to him. And last of all, make a place in your heart and your routine for others. I love you guys. So happy to be here at Jubilee. This year, we're one year away from our 40th anniversary. We started in 78. We're coming up on, this is 1917. I'm a little behind the times. 2017. I'm believing God for an amazing year. We're going to pray for all the families, all the people, everybody here on the 22nd. We usually would do it today, but we're just going to put it off because we want everybody sort of be around for it. Next week, we have a regular service. We're going to talk about, you know, preparing ourselves to live in the presence of the Lord. And then the next week, we have Mark Davey here with Global Harvest Ministries. Prepare your hearts to receive. If you know anybody that needs healing, anybody needs a touch from God, bring them out on that Sunday. If you know anybody that needs to give their heart to the Lord, he's a great evangelist. He'll tell people why they need Jesus. And then we'll just also prepare your hearts to give, because we always want to bless them as they serve. I think he said, like, last year or the year before when he was here, they told us how many people they reach. I was reading this morning, there were like 100,000 people this year around there. That they reach for the Lord. And I think that they figure it's between $2 and $3 a person to reach a person for Christ. That's amazing. Thinking about your coffee money could reach someone for Jesus today. If you're kind of shy and you don't know what to do, don't worry. Give. Just so next, when they're here, be prepared to give. Anyway, Lord, I just thank you for this people, Lord, for this house. Lord, for the vision and the mission and the call that you put upon us. Lord, help us to love each other. Lord, help us to love you more. Help us to, Lord, be focused. Lord, fill this place with your presence as only you could do. Lord, I just pray as we leave this place today, Lord, that you would go with us, that you would strengthen us, Lord, that we would, Lord, grow in you even this week, Lord, that you would give us opportunities to share your love with others. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, everyone. God bless you. I need you, Lord.